Turn to Romans chapter 6 and also Galatians chapter 5. Romans chapter 6, we'll read verses 14 and 15. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Here's why. You're not under the law, but under grace. What then? In light of this fact that we are not under law but under grace, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? The answer, God forbid. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Both of these passages, the subject matter is law and grace. Both are twice mentioned in the text that we read in Romans. And law is twice mentioned in the text we read in Galatians, and grace is once mentioned in the text in Galatians. Now, leading up to our text in Romans, Paul had established this truth that salvation is not by human works, not by human deeds, but by the grace of God. He said in Romans 3, verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. They might be justified in their own sight, but that won't matter. His sight. Verse 24 of Romans 3, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And in verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So he establishes this fact. Salvation does not come by obeying the law of God. Salvation is by the grace of God. He establishes the fact, and then in chapters 4 and 5, he illustrates that truth. And then in chapter 6, he anticipates some objections to this truth of salvation, not by works, but by grace. And he begins in chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? That is, in regard to salvation being by grace and not by the deeds of the law. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So he's anticipating the objection. If salvation is by the grace of God, then the saved individual will feel free to sin. And the saved individual has a license to sin. So that's the objection that he's answering. He then proceeds to answer the objection. God forbid. God forbid such a thought. He then asks a question in verse 2 to express the absurdity of that thought. How shall we that are dead to sin, that is, our status has been changed in salvation, We're no longer a slave to sin, but we've been saved by grace. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And then we come to our text in verses 14 and 15. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. The implication is that if you put yourself under the law, sin has dominion over you. But that's not our point today. In the text in Galatians, Paul is rebuking the false teaching that had crept into the Galatian churches that the saved must keep the law, in particular circumcision, in order to be truly saved. And that's what Paul is dealing with throughout the book of Galatians. And then he writes in our text, he writes a rebuke to that way of thinking. So both of these passages address law and grace. And they are presented as two systems. There is the system of law. There is the system of grace. And Paul is speaking in both places to save people. And in both places, he says that the child of God is no longer under law, but under grace. No longer under the system of law, but under the system of grace. And both passages deal with a saved person's manner of living as it relates to law and grace. Galatians 5, verse 1, it is stated that Christ hath made us free. Free from what? Well, in the context, free from the system of the law. Also in verse 1, we're exhorted, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. In other words, we have been set free to be free. We are not set free to live like slaves. We are not set free to live in bondage. We are set free to be free. And we are warned, be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. And in the context, the yoke of bondage is living under the system of law. And the warning is given because the danger is real to God's people. So the subject today is which system? Which system? Now it's important that you follow closely. Don't lose me, because if you do, you might not catch up. So it's important. Pay attention. That's always important. But notice some truths regarding law and grace. As we preach this message, when you hear the word law, think rules. Think God's rules. And when you hear the word grace, think undeserved, unmerited favor. Or think God's favor. So when we use the word law, think rules, God's rules. When we use the word grace, think God's favor. We must understand that these two, law and grace, are not enemies. Many present them as enemies. They are not enemies. They are not enemies. But that being said, they do represent two entirely different mindsets and ways of living life. Law and grace, two different systems. Grace, God showing us grace uses the law. He always does. And grace does not do away with law or rules, but rather gives us a different perspective of the rules or of the law. Law addresses man as members of the old creation. Grace makes men members of the new creation. Law manifests what is in man, sin. Grace manifests what's in God, God's love, God's favor. Law demands perfect righteousness from man. Grace brings that righteousness to man. Law doesn't. Law sentences man to death. Grace brings man to life. Law speaks of what man must do for God. Grace tells us what God has done for us. Law gives a knowledge of sin. Grace puts sin away. So in light of these truths, law and grace, how precious those words are, for you're not under the law, but under grace. The law states that there are rules. Rules imply that there is an authority, that there is a judge, and there is accountability, and there is a law, God's law, God's rules. Grace states that there is favor with God. And God is the judge, but they're not based upon the deeds of the law. So let's look at the purpose and the function of the law of God, because this we must understand, and many don't. Many, when they read those words, "For you're not under the law, but under grace," they come to the erroneous conclusion that there's something wrong with the law. But know this, there is absolutely nothing wrong with the law of God. Nothing. We read in Romans 7, in verse 7, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin?" That is there something wrong with the law? He proceeds to answer, "God forbid." Nay, meaning no. There is nothing wrong with the law. Romans 7, verse 12 is stated, "The law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just, and good." Nothing wrong with the law. Now there are saved people who think that the law is faulty. And the reason they think that way is because they are expecting the law to do something that it was never intended to do. The overall purpose of the law is to reveal the need of God's grace. That's the overall purpose. It's not the only purpose, but it's the overall purpose. So consider some functions of the law. What it was purposed to do. We read in Romans 3, verse 20, By the law is the knowledge of sin. And in Romans 7 and verse 7, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Is there something wrong with the law? God forbid, nay." And then he goes on to say, "I had not known sin, but by the law." So the law was given so that you and I would know what sin is, so that you and I would become aware of sin in our lives. And God uses that when He deals with us in grace. He brings us to that knowledge. So the law, again, shows us our need of grace. In Romans 5, verse 20, the law entered that the offense, that is, sin, might abound. And in Romans 7, verse 13, sin by the commandment, or by the law, might become exceeding sinful. So from those two statements, we see that the law was given to magnify the seriousness and the vileness and the abomination of sin. And again, God uses that when He deals with us in salvation. The law was given to expose guilt and corruption of the sinner. Romans 3, verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, that is, rendered without excuse or plea, and all the world may become guilty before God. That's what the law does. The law says, guilty, guilty. That's what the law says every time. We are guilty. Thank God. We're not under the law. We're no longer guilty. But not only does the law declare man guilty, it leaves man guilty. It leaves man in his doom, and therefore the law manifests again the need of grace. The law was given to exhibit God's righteous hatred of sin and His holy determination to punish it. And in so doing, the law manifests the need of grace. So from all this, we see the law was given to manifest what's wrong with us. What's wrong with us? The very fact that we have to be told to love God shows that something is wrong with us. That we have to be told not to steal, that shows that something is wrong with us. The law declares what's wrong with us. And in so doing, it reveals the value of grace and a Savior. We also read in Romans 3, verse 20, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. So the law was given to slay all hope of salvation by the deeds of the law. It was given to reveal the helplessness of man. And you can, from all this, you see how God uses the law in salvation. The law reveals how short we have come of keeping it and how impossible it is for us to reach its standard. It is stated in Galatians 3, verse 10, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things. Cursed! If you do not obey every single partial portion of the law, cursed. Cursed. James 2, verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, is guilty of all. Well, I've kept most of the law. I doubt it. But even if you have, one point, if you've offended in one area, one time, guilty of all. That's the law. Thank God we're not under the law. You and I better saved. The law demands a righteousness without any omission of duty and without the commission of any sin. But the law does not bestow righteousness. And that reveals the need of grace. So from all this, we see that law and grace are not enemies. The law plainly declares, you do not have the righteousness required. And therefore, you are in desperate need of the grace of God. They're not enemies. They work together. Galatians 3, 24 and 25 will not turn there to save time, but the law is pictured as a schoolmaster, bringing us to Christ. So the law points to Christ. The law shows us our need of Christ. Now from all of that, we need to understand this vital truth. And I'm afraid there's a lot of God's people in the Lord's churches that don't know this. But the law was not given to make men better. Wasn't given to make men better. The law can't make men better. The law condemns. Both the unsaved and saved sinner need to understand this. The law was not given to make you better. And it can't make you better. Now, the law cannot bring the unsaved sinner to heaven. We all agree with that. But also, the law cannot bring heaven to the saved sinner. Doesn't make you better. Again, it's not due to a fault in the law, for the law is holy and just and good. But the law was never designed to make you better. That's not its design. That's not its purpose. So again, the law cannot justify the unsaved sinner, because if he offends in one point, he's guilty of all. And may I say, the law cannot justify the saved sinner for the same reason. You offend in one point, you're guilty of all. It was never given to make men better. That's what grace is for. Now, consider some errors concerning the law of God. We want to consider three. The first two are the result of a misinterpretation and misunderstanding of those words, we are not under the law, but under grace. And the third is the result of not understanding the purpose of the law. The law was not given to make you better. There is the error of legalism. Legalism is a word that is freely and irresponsibly thrown around in so-called Christendom. And in the thinking of many professing Christianity, it is simply the presentation of Christianity, with any presentation of Christianity which manifests or maintains standards or practices separation from the world and believes in a code of conduct, they're going to be called legalist. That's legalism. And that's a misrepresentation. But it also reveals a very sad spiritual state. The word stems from, the word legalism or legalist stems from a wrong understanding and application of God's law. In the Bible, legalism was the teaching that says it is necessary to keep the law of Moses in order to gain salvation. In the Pharisees' case, it was the belief that keeping the law made them better than everyone else. Keep in mind, the law doesn't make you better. That's legalism. There's the error of antinomianism. Comes from the word anti, meaning against. Nomos, meaning law. So, against law. We are against rules. And it refers to the false doctrine that the saved, and based again upon Romans chapter 6, are liberated from the observance of God's rules because they are saved. The rules of God do not apply to God's people. That's antinomianism. It's nowhere taught in the Word of God Jude warned against such in Jude verse 4, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness or unbridled lust. In other words, what they were doing was grace became a license to sin. Grace gave them liberty to sin. That's based in antinomianism. And those who are quick to bring the charge of legalism are really guilty. If you get right down to it, they're guilty of antinomianism. And the teaching of antinomianism is based upon a hatred for the government and authority of God. Are we legalists in the sense that we believe that salvation is by the works of the law? No, we are not. Are we antinomians? No. We are a people who believe the Bible and who believe that if God says do it, we are responsible to do it. If God says don't, then we are responsible not to. In Romans chapter 6, Paul is dealing with legalism and antinomianism. And in Galatians text, he's dealing with a form of legalism that the Galatian Christians had fallen into, which brings us to our third error concerning the law of God. The error that the law is a system of justification. We've already stressed the law is not designed or given to make you better. It will not make better an unsaved sinner. And the law will not make better a saved sinner. The law will not justify man. Not because there's any fault in the law. It wasn't designed to justify. And this is so with regards to obtaining salvation. It is so in regards to living the saved life. Now notice Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Read verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Who's he speaking to? Speaking to the saved. But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we may be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Lost man is not justified by works, and saved man is not justified by works. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now notice Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. For the just, he's applying this to the just. He's applying it to the justified. The just shall live by faith. Not the law. The law doesn't make you better. Notice verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. There's no law that gives life. None. Verse 24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by law? By faith. Ephesians 2, how does faith come? By grace. We're justified by grace. Again, Romans 10, verse 4, For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is the... Who's he addressing? He's addressing everyone that believeth. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. We do not get righteousness by keeping the law. We're not made righteous by keeping the law. There are a lot of God's people don't know this. That's why there's so many Pharisees. The Bible is clear. You see, there are God's people who think that keeping the law makes them better. I do this, 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 therefore, and you don't, therefore I'm a better Christian than you are. Well, you might be a better Christian, but you keeping the law isn't what makes it so. Because yes, you do this, 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 but you don't do this, 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 and you're guilty of all. The law doesn't justify it. The law doesn't make you better. Never has. It wasn't designed to. So a lot of God's people need to get off their high horse because they think they're better because they, and everybody has their own list. It's amazing how people can take the law and just pick and choose what they're going to do and just ignore the rest and think that they're more justified because they keep their list. But you're not justified by the law. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to those who believe. You better be glad because there is no righteousness by the law. You're guilty. The law demands perfect, complete, and continuous obedience. Again, Galatians 3:10, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. For those who think that they are better by keeping the law, that is the gross misunderstanding of what constitutes obedience to the law. Because God's law always demands perfect obedience. And if it's not perfect, you're guilty. Perfect all the time. And if it's not perfect all the time, you're guilty. You can't go to the law to be made better. The law condemns. That's true of the unsaved. That's true of the saved. Think about when the law was given, the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse 18. Thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking and the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And in Exodus 20, verse 19, and they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. They knew we cannot keep these standards. They were filled with terror. And the reason for such is stated in Hebrews 12, verse 20, for they could not endure that which was commanded. In other words, they knew we cannot meet these demands. They are beyond us. And that's why Paul in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 7, speaking of giving the law, he said it is the ministration of death. It's not the ministration of righteousness. It's the ministration of death. And in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 9, he referred to it as the ministration of condemnation. Galatians 3, verse 10 again, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse because God's law demands perfection. If you're depending on the law to make you better, you're cursed, you're doomed, you're guilty. From all this, we see that the law is connected with death and condemnation and curse. Not betterment. Not betterment. So we have two systems of life regarding the saved. Law and grace. System of the law demands perfect, complete, and continual obedience and cannot justify a sinner. If you're unsaved and you're hoping that your good deeds will be enough to get you to heaven, hear those words again. Offend in one point, guilty of all. Did you get that? I'm talking to the unsaved. You offend in one point. One point. One time. You're guilty of all. Romans 3, verse 19, whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world become guilty before God. Hear those words. Guilty before God. Guilty before God. Those words ought to strike terror in the hearts of men. Guilty before God. Unsaved sinner, hear it again. Romans 3, verse 19. There shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Man is justified without the deeds of the law. If you are unsaved and you are operating under the system of the law, you will stand before God guilty and condemned. Our text verses in Romans and Galatians deal with the saved concerning law and grace. You're not under the law, but under grace. And many have, we've already said, erroneously taking that to mean the saved individual is no longer obligated to obey the rules of God. That the rules of God are unnecessary. And that is a lie. And that is a deceit of Satan. And many have taken the statement in Romans 10, verse 4, they just take part of it. For Christ is the end of the law. For Christ is the end of the law. And they'll say, see, it says right there. I don't have to obey the Sabbath. I don't have to keep the Sabbath. I don't have to do this or that. Christ is the end of the law. But read what it says. Because there's not a period there. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. For righteousness. To everyone that believeth. Doesn't say the law is no longer in existence, but Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. The law cannot bring righteousness, cannot produce righteousness. And we are not under the law, thank God. That means we're not under the curse of the law. Those are glorious words. We are not under the law. We've been set free from that system of righteousness. The question is asked in Romans 3, verse 31. Do we then, reference to righteousness by faith and grace, make void or nullify the law through faith? And then he answers, God forbid. And then he says, yea. A word of exclamation. We establish the law. In other words, we're not under the law. But the law has not been done away with. But you and I that have been saved by the grace of God, we now have a new motive to keep the law of God. It's not that we would be better. We have a new motive because of what God has done for us. In grace. So the law was, again, the Ten Commandments was given following redemption. God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and then He gave them the law. There's salvation and then there's the law. Grace does not do away with the rules. We that are saved must never, ever fall into the lie and deception that the rules of God have no bearing upon us. And also, we must not become victim of the lie that there is righteousness in the law. That is, I keep the Sabbath, you don't, therefore I'm better than you. You keeping the law doesn't give you any betterment. It doesn't make you righteous. It doesn't do away with the person who doesn't keep the Sabbath. Don't misunderstand me. But the law does not make better. But you and I that are saved are to view the law, the rules, through the lens and through the system of grace. We are not under the control of the law, but we are under the control of grace. Again, the rules are not done away, but they are under a new system. We see them in a different light. You see, grace is a system whose rules are predicated upon a relationship with God. Without that relationship with God, all you have is rules. That's all you got. And from Romans 7, verses 7 and 8, of which we had time, 1 Corinthians 15:56, it is taught in those verses that rules by themselves have a tendency to make men rebel and make them worse. That's something to think about. I believe that explains a lot of things, but we don't have time. There's a vast difference between these two systems, law and grace. Under the system of law, again, I'm talking to God's people now. The key word is if. If. Everything is conditional upon what you do to obtain God's favor. If I do such and such, I will obtain favor with God. In other words, if I do such and such, God will owe me. A lot of God's people think that way. The very statement, I don't understand why I'm suffering or so-and-so suffering. They're such good Christians and they've done right. Why are they suffering? What you've just stated is that you're a legalist. What you've just stated is you think by obeying the law, you're better. And you're beyond suffering. It reveals a serious problem. That simple statement. The statements, well, I'm going to tithe because if I don't, God's going to get it anyway. You're operating under the system of law. If I do this, God will bless me. I've had people tell me, I've done everything right, and this is what's happened. You've done everything right? Are you serious? You've done everything right? Well, you know what I mean. No, I really don't know what you mean. Because that's a very troubling statement. It reveals a very serious problem. I'm getting off track. But if, go to the system of grace. The key word in grace is since. Since. The law system says, this is what you need to do to get God to bless you. The grace system says, I have been blessed of God, and I'm going to do this. Big difference. Big difference. Not going to the law to make me better. I'm going to the law because God has made me better. Since God has blessed me, I'm going to obey God. That's the system of grace. The law system has the mindset, I have to. I have to go to church today. Have to do this, have to do that. Don't want to upset the pastor. Don't want to upset brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. The grace system, the key word is thank you. Thank you. Amen. Lord, I'm going to church today. Thank you. Amen. Because of what you've done for me. And it's not I have to, it's I want to. Amen. Big difference. Grace doesn't do away with the law, but grace sure does cause us to see the law in a different perspective. The grace system is understanding and appreciating what God has done. You're not under the law, but under grace. We're to live under the system of grace. Philippians 3, verse 9, Paul referred to his unsaved life, mine own righteousness, which is of the law. Let me tell you something, your own righteousness will not save your soul. And then he refers to his new life, the righteousness which is of God by faith. My righteousness, which is by the law, that is how I think I've obeyed the law, God's righteousness by faith. So in the Galatian text, I realize what time it is, the Galatian Christians, like many of God's people today, had moved from the mindset of since to the mindset of if. They had moved from the mindset of thank you and I want to the mindset of I have to. They're now entangled. Their life is one of misery. And as Paul says, you're not living in the freedom that you've been set free to. Obedience to the law does not make you better. How many times have we done it? Have we heard other people do it? Well, I'm going to start doing this, 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 and they make a list. And what happens? 9 times out of 10, they get worse. They get worse. Why? They're expecting the law to make them better. The law won't make you better. What you need to understand is I've been saved by grace. Because I've been saved by grace, God helped me to always realize that. Causing me, giving me a reason to obey the law of God. Again, if we go backwards into that law system, slavery is the result. Let me ask you this. Which is better? For your children, most of us have already raised our children. For your children to submit to you, merely out of fear of punishment, or to submit to you based upon a loving relationship? Which is better? Well, my kids knew that if they didn't do this, they were going to get a beating. Not saying anything against corporal punishment. But is that the only reason they obeyed? That would explain a lot of rebellion today. So which is better? Loving relationship is better. That's what grace gives us. Amen. We obey. And I hear people say, and I feel sorry for them when they say it. Well, I'm going to do, if I don't do this, I'm afraid God's going to do this. Well, God might. But that's not why you're to obey. You're to obey because what God has done for you. Not what God might do to you. Big difference. Big difference. What produces happy children? Obedience out of fear of punishment? Or obedience out of love? Which is the happiest child? You know the answer. The same applies to God's people. What makes for a better life? To try to follow the rules of God. And I'm not saying you shouldn't try to follow the rules of God. Out of fear of punishment. Or to get better. Or because of a relationship with God. The deeper your relationship with God, the more you will want to obey God. And you will want to. You will want to. Many of God's people need to move from if to since. From I have to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You left heaven, come to earth to save my soul. And you tell me to do such and such. I want to. Because what you've done for me. What a blessing to have been brought from, not under the law, to under grace. Paul asked the Galatians in Galatians 3, verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Galatians is a very applicable book to the day in which we live. What we read in Galatians is a problem in churches of the Lord today. People think they're better because they keep the portions of the law that they have chose. Offend in one point, guilty of all. Guilty of all. Thank you, Lord, that I am not under law. Thank you, Lord, for giving me rules to protect my life and to make my life better. And Lord, because of what you have done for me, I want to obey all your rules. I want to obey. See the difference between living under the system of law living under the system of grace. Again, unsaved sinner, if you are depending on your works in any way, in any fashion, you're doomed. You're doomed. You are guilty before God. Your only hope is the free, unmerited favor of God. Someone says, well, I don't deserve salvation. Bingo. None of us do. That's why it's of grace. That's why it's of grace. I don't deserve anything from God that's good. It's grace. And because of grace, I see the law differently. I want to obey. And so do you. So we thank God for that wonderful truth. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.